This week on football, Lillestrøm warmly welcome back former player Gør Bakker. Andy Carroll scores this belter for French side Amiens. Zobersly or Borat?
But yeah, feels nice.
It's nice.
Conor Hourihan apologises to the Derby away fans. Cristiano rockets in a free kick. Jose Mourinho sent off again.
Mourinho has been shown a red card. For Roma, when Mourinho is missing as he travels to his former club, Inter.
And the world pays tribute to the late, great Sir Bobby Charlton.
Do you know that I'm my friend? I don't understand their hands. They only turn when I'm not looking. Keep searching around this place, reaching for someone so I can relate. We don't know when the clock stops turning. Oh, Father Time, speaking wisdom into my mind. Tell me stories of all that are great. Cherish these days before it's too late.
Yeah, welcome back to another episode of Goalpost for Jumpers. It's me, your host, Alex. How have you been? How's your week been? It's been pretty great having football back. No more international break. Do you know what? Sometimes absence makes the heart grow fonder, you know? This week's episode, obviously, we're going to kick it off with a quiz question, as we always do. This week's quiz question is, which side has been relegated from the Premier League the most amount of times? Which side has been relegated from the Premier League the most amount of times? We'll give you that answer at the end of the show. Rack your brains. Coming up in this week's episode, we've got a classic, two lies and a truth. We are doing TikTok submissions. We're going to be going around Europe as well, so we'll be talking all things football around Europe. And to start off, I'm going to recap on last week's Chomp of the Week that wasn't quite Chomp of the Week. We did something a little bit different. What we did was we started a rumour, and this rumour is starting to grow. We said that Toblerone wasn't pronounced Toblerone. We'd had enough of winding people up, so we thought, you know what, we'll go a little bit more softer. We're not going to antagonise Arsenal fans and Liverpool fans and make them angry. We're just going to say something really simple and innocent about chocolate. But people reacted quite aggressively. I didn't realise how passionate people were about triangular-shaped chocolate. Toblerone has, for some reason, got some really loyal supporters. So the amount of hatred that we've had in the last couple of weeks has been fun. But Toblerone has created a whole new cult-like obsession, and they are anti-Goalpost TV. They hate us. So this week, we're not going to do a chomp. We are going to ask you, because obviously the chomp is based around terrible football opinions, which we, you know, jokingly say we're not actually serious. We want to ask you, what is your worst football take? And one that you are willing to admit. So what is your worst football take that you are willing to admit? And I'll go first. I'll openly say Kevin De Bruyne, when he signed for Man City, I said it was abominable amount of money. I thought he was too expensive, and that is probably my worst football take, because I really thought Kevin De Bruyne wasn't all that, and look at him now, arguably one of the best midfielders to ever play in the Premier League. What is, though, your worst football take that you're willing to admit? If I can admit it, you can admit it. We're in a safe bubble here. We're in a safe space. No one's judging you, apart from all of TikTok. Right, okay. We are going to look at our team of the week. Obviously, team of the week is back. We had a little break from it. I gave you my overrated 11 and my underrated 11, which caused a bit of a stir. But this week, it's team of the week and it is back. I'm going to start off in goal. It's Marc-Andre Ter Stegen. At right back, I've got Diogo Dalot. Centre back, I've got Harry Maguire and I've got Inigo Martinez. At left back, I've got Alejandro Balde. Central midfield, I've got Emre Can. I've also got Douglas Luiz. I've got Julian Brandt as well, making up that midfield three. On the right wing, I have got Jared Bowen. On the left wing, I've got Mykhailo Mudryk. And striker, I have got Ollie Watkins. Just a quick explanation for my selections. Marc-Andre Ter Stegen in goal. I watched the Barcelona game, kept a clean sheet, made two really, really good saves. I think we have to take our Premier League bias away, because I think Ter Stegen is arguably, he's at least in the conversation of the best goalkeepers in world football. What he did at Barcelona when they went on that streak of clean sheets, what he's still doing now, I don't think there's a better goalkeeper in world football. I don't think there's anyone better than him. I'm not saying he's the best, but I would say there's no one better than him. So at least he's as good as Alisson or Edison or any of these top goalkeepers, Courtois. Right back, I went Diogo Dalot. To be honest, I didn't see many right back performances that I thought deserved to be in the team of the week, but his unreal strike that won the game for Man United, a terrible Man United performance, was the difference. So I had to go with him. Centre back, Harry Maguire gave a man of the match performance. He's the only centre back at Man United who seems to be in form at the moment, which I don't think anyone predicted. And also, by the way, Harry Maguire midweek for England against Italy, I thought he was faultless. So we do have to start giving Maguire a little bit of credit now. And I think people are actually. Alongside him was Inigo Martinez, unbelievable block that stopped Bilbao scoring when Barca played on Sunday evening. I was really impressed, because this is a player that, you know, you could argue is on that side of his career. He's coming down. He's on his way, you know, 30s. He's looking like he might be on the way out, signs for Barcelona, and wow, what a performance. He seems to be getting better and better. Left back, talking of mature performances, but this one's from a 20-year-old, Alejandro Balde. What a player. For someone who's 20 years old, he looks like he's been playing fullback for 10, 15 years. Really impressive once again. Barcelona with a clean sheet. Central midfield, I went with Emre Can. Lovely assist for the goal for Dortmund. We've seen Emre Can at Liverpool, and we've seen Emre Can for Germany, and we've seen him in Dortmund. And I think we're seeing a player that's a lot more stable, kind of knows himself now, and just a really confident performance again from Emre Can. I think he's been brilliant in the Bundesliga since he joined them. He assisted the goal for Julian Brandt, and that Julian Brandt finish was just sublime. Lovely little finish. Really underrated player, Julian Brandt. He's been at Dortmund for quite a while and doesn't really get much credit, many people talking about him, but really lovely player, really silky footballer. Douglas Luiz was my standout performance. Last season, I think over the last couple of seasons, people have thought, yeah, he's all right, you know. He's a defensive midfielder who maybe he's a bit rash and he's not really settled. But I think this season and towards the end of last season, he looks like Villa's main man. You know, yes, he's scoring the goals. He's got two for a defensive midfielder, which is crazy. But he's on set pieces. He's always a threat from set pieces as well. scores from corners, loves to have a strike from corners, and Villa are really lucky to have him. He will be the big influence in that Villa team if they continue this run at home. Villa at home this season are absolutely outrageous, and I think Douglas Luiz is a really big part of that. Right wing went with Jared Bowen. Yes, they got beat 4-1, but Jared Bowen is the shining light in that West Ham team. Whether they are playing badly or well, he seems to be at the forefront of it. Started his first game for England, which is a great moment for him, but he has now scored in all 5 Premier League away games this season, which I think only Thierry Henry has matched, but absolutely amazing from Jared Bowen. I really felt like last season wasn't the season that he really expected it was going to be for him. And then right at the death, he scores that winner to win a trophy for West Ham. And I think that was the thing that really kicked him off and gave him that confidence back. And we're seeing that this season. Left wing, I went with Mykhailo Mudryk. I think Mudryk is a player we've all given a load of stick to. I think maybe he has settled now. Maybe he's finding his feet, a bit of confidence. You can see he's a shy lad, doesn't really look like the sort of personality that is going to stand up and be counted. So I think he needs one of those confidence boosting performances. And I think a lot of the media, a lot of the press will start thinking of him a little bit more favourably. Therefore, the fans will. And I think, therefore, Mudryk will feel a little bit more confident. And I think he'll really grow into that Chelsea side. And striker, Ollie Watkins. I've wanted to put him in for weeks. Haven't really found a place for him. But Ollie Watkins, brilliant. Scored the goal. Loved his confidence for the goal against Australia for England. The interview he gave after was brilliant, saying that he was just so sure he was not leaving that pitch without a goal, and then scored a belting strike against West Ham. Lovely left foot finish as well, so I had to put him in there. So that's my team of the week. Tell me what you think. Feel free to comment, disagree, tell me I'm stupid. Two lies and a truth. I've got 3 stories, as you know. Two lies and a truth. The way this works is I've got 3 stories. 2 of them I've made up. One of them is true in the world of football. You have to guess which one is true. They are 3 pretty crazy stories, so it's not always that easy. First story. Argentina Primera C side Claypool have signed a 3-year-old child after the young boy scored a penalty against their substitute goalkeeper in the warm-up. Story number 1. Story number 2. Italian lower league side Imolese have been warned by the Italian FA after rumours circulated the Mafia had pressured a referee to award them a penalty. Or is it story number 3? Barcelona are looking at a 16-year-old winger called Messinho. After the young Brazilian claimed it would be a dream of his to play there, the player whose name combines the 2 greats of football, Ronaldinho and Messi, is considered one of the greatest football talents currently playing out of Brazil. 3 stories. Which one is true? You have to guess. I'm going to tell you at the end of the show, as always. Right, let's do some TikTok submissions. I love to try and explain each different part of this show, but TikTok submissions is where I ask people to send me football-related content, and most of the time, it's animals. Right, let's do the first one.
You bottled a 2-0 lead. Yes! Oh, let me taste your tears, Scott. Your tears are so yummy and sweet. Oh, the tears of unfathomable sadness.
These football admins are going wild. Someone needs to control them. Why does anyone bother with the AFC? Why are people still playing it? Have you seen that video of Robert Sanchez jumping and getting the ball? And he's really straight. Watch his goalkeeper. Ready? This is exactly the same. Unbelievable. Stop playing it. Just stop playing it.
Why have so many defenders started controlling the ball with the sole of their foot? And how did this player from the Italian 3rd division kick the craze off? Let's find out. Premier League centre-backs are increasingly standing still in possession with their foot on top of the ball, especially at Brighton. It's become a trademark tactic of Roberto De Zerbi with ripple effects throughout the league. So what's the benefit? Well, De Zerbi first discovered the idea when coaching 3rd division club Foggia, after midfielder Antonio Vacca defied instruction to move the ball more quickly quickly, explaining that by putting the sole of his foot on the ball, it would invite the opposition to press, opening up passing lanes. And as a former Man United coach explains, it also gives players 360-degree control, meaning they can look at their opponent rather than looking down, saving crucial time. And other teams are now copying the tactic, with both Man City and Arsenal instructing their goalkeepers to do so to attract pressure and open up space. Read this piece by Stu for the full breakdown.
Yeah, it's funny how football progresses and we just think it's like we figured everything out. This is such a basic concept, but nobody really has thought about it until 2014. Like, it just shows you think you know everything. You think you know how to play the game, or you think these managers know how to play the game, and then someone comes up and just says, yeah, put your foot on the ball. It's that simple. And you give yourself more time, more options, and then invites a player to press. Simple. I love the way the football progresses and that every kind of 5 to 10 years we get this new style. Like at the moment, we've got a lot of goalkeepers playing from the back and creating that 11th man or that 11th outfield player. It's not finished. This is the thing. There's always new concepts. There's always absolute football nerds that will find something really, you know, interesting that develops a team style of play. But this seems really simple. I feel like the Brazilians did this in futsal for years with rolling the ball over with their foot and putting their foot on the ball. Bobby Robson right now is the... Who's that in the back? Bobby Robson is the stiffest man. Look how stiff he is. What is Tony Adams doing? This is a phenomenon I think we'll never see happen with an England team ever again. Or like the getting together and doing songs and things. I think it's such an old fashioned thing. And I really like it, seeing them all awkward and like so out of their comfort zone. But nowadays, I think the players think they're too cool for this sort of stuff. Compilation there of one of Beckham's probably final games of his career, AC Milan, just shows you what a player he was. You know, this at this point he's playing central midfield, and that first pass, I think, I don't know who it's through to. Is it Pato? Don't know who the pass is through to. If we saw that pass from Ronaldinho or Neymar, we'd expect it. But David Beckham, this is what I mean. I've said it for ages. David Beckham is the most underrated footballer of our generation. And the Beck's documentary, which I think everyone's seen now, is just a great example of how much of and how much of that documentary was about his personal life, was about him being in the spotlight and being this celebrity, and how little of it was to do with football. Because what we should have been focusing on with David Beckham was he was a generational talent, one of the most talented footballers to ever come through England, and what a player. Yeah, absolutely lovely player. And this just shows how talented he was, could do everything. Ronaldo. Huh? Is that a snail? That... Hold on a minute. I thought this was like a Ronaldo It's a snail. There's a snail. I thought this was like a Ronaldo goals compilation or little edit, and there's a snail, a giant cartoon snail in one of the pictures. You have to have a look at this because this doesn't even seem real.
Look at how much money is around you. Like
Billy Mohan. This is Billy Mohan. Anyone who doesn't know Billy Mohan, I'm going to put a picture up. This guy is Billy Mohan.
If we're going off the average price of a house,
Billy Mohan. It's Billy Mohan. Like, what are you getting at, Billy? I'm not finishing that. I can't finish that video. Billy's boring enough, let alone his lookalike.
He spent it on himself, and then we got another $40,000, $30,000, and that was put in the LLC and immediately spent.
He says the movie was made outside.
There was a couple weeks of shooting, out of 14 days out of 20, and then eventually on May 14, we had to stop because there was no money left. And none of the cast, none of the crew.
Sorry. Is that Hedgehog wearing shoes? Why is he wearing shoes?
All right. You support Arsenal. Or Tottenham? It's a joke. All right, you're Arsenal, yeah. You Tottenham? It's a joke. Tottenham? All right. You're Arsenal, yeah. Arsenal, good boy.
Listen, right, you know you're Arsenal, yeah? Yeah, you're Arsenal, right? I was looking at the comments online, and they said... That, remember, this isn't me saying this. They said Diego supports Tottenham.
This dog definitely supports Tottenham.
Come on, buddy, you know you want to.
That's the most cartoon scream. Anyone who's listening, I bet you can't guess what this video is. It's goats. It's always goats.
Come on, buddy, you know you want to.
Why don't they learn? They don't help themselves, do they? That's something a 3-year-old child could do. Oh my God. Again. Right, this is... I'm not going to say anything about women's football. Ajax women are posting... Ajax women's TikTok is... They've posted a few clips... And it's almost like they know it's going to get a load of traction, but for negative reasons, but are posting it anyway because it's traction. Like, it's in the same way that we would post a chomp for negative reactions. But this is a professional outfit of women's football trying to grow and promote it, and it's posting just some of the worst pieces of football you'll ever see. This is... Why have they posted this?
Time to be one of performers today, man.
Of course, man.
Yeah?
Of course.
And you're scoring, yeah?
One, yeah.
Let's go to Weldy.
Legend. This is Sandro. Do you remember Sandro Ramirez? Played for Tottenham, central midfield, Brazilian. He's now playing some sort of lower league, Sunday league thing, and he's mic'd up. All right, let's listen.
Can you hear me? Yeah. Manon!
What a legend Sandro is. What a legend. Why are we seeing a lot of Brazilians play like these Sunday league games? It's all Roberto Carlos playing for like some random side that was like Nationalist Median Premier League 4. Like, why are they coming? I love it. Keep doing it. It's great. Sandro's hilarious. Thank you. This, for people listening, is a compilation of Messi, Neymar, Suarez when that front three was at their height. We will never see a better front three in our lives. There is no one. We've got the best striker, arguably, of all time, Luis Suarez. We've got the best player, arguably, of all time, Leo Messi, and maybe the most underrated player of all time, Neymar. All as a front three. It's the one thing that I wish I had gone to see live, because what a front three. Unbelievable players. This is what I mean, man. De Gea is one of the most overhated, underrated goalkeepers ever, because he had a couple of bad, dodgy seasons, even though he's still making fantastic saves. He had a couple of dodgy seasons where he made mistakes, and then all of a sudden people write him off. Like, this is the caliber that David De Gea was kind of producing, but not just one season or two. It's like 5 or 6 years that he was doing this. And it's not one off. It was like every game he was keeping Man United in the game. So what a goalkeeper. If the road is collapsing like something out of Armageddon, you don't stand on the side on the edge of the pit into oblivion. I'm going to continue watching this. I hope he falls in. Still stood there. He still stood there. The half the road has just collapsed into some sort of hell, and he stood right on the edge. This is some guy just stood on the edge of hell watching over. Why do people do that? Why are people so oblivious to danger? Oh, what? He didn't fall in.
Let's have one. Good strike. Go on, get it in there.
Get one behind, trying to get in the finish.
Get on it. Better, yes.
Not good. Come on. I know what you mean, Dave. I know what you mean.
Come on. Reverse him if he gets clever. Come on, Mose.
Come on, Mose.
Go on. Yes!
Come on, why were these two dumb idiots given any time of day? This is a video of those two absolute weapons, those two sisters, I think they were, who played professional football somehow. And they came onto Soccer AM and then started like kind of being amongst them. And they had zero football ability. Watching this, I remember watching this live and I was thinking, what has Soccer AM become? Because these two women who were trying to... they're kicking a ball from 18 yards out and barely reaching the goal. And they play professionally. I don't want this to be a podcast where we hate on women's football, because I want to support anyone doing things that they love. But why do we give these... I mean, what is that? A five-year-old could kick the ball further and harder. Another example of people standing on the edge of hell and just watching it, filming like that. Seen the sea? The sea's coming. Hit bricks. Leave. People are oblivious to danger. The sea is coming.
Just a couple practice swings.
Why is that so funny? Wait.
Just a couple practice swings.
So good.
Just a little present for the sunset after a nice round of golf.
No. What are the chances it hits him in the balls? That practice swing was so fucking good. Wait.
Just a couple of practice swings.
Why is he swinging so hard? Oh, one more time.
Just a couple of practice swings.
Yo, this guy just got this troll's dead dad tattooed on his leg for this comment. Watch.
This is one of the nastiest, cruelest comments that I've gotten. It's a good shit. Thing I am in recovery and that I've matured and I'm not even going to engage with this. Max, I was so devastated to hear the news about your father. Whoa.
This is...
Dude, that's next level petty. This guy got a picture. I'm not even... Well, you heard. If Jose Mourinho was a TikTok influencer, this is what he would do. And what happened to his body there? What a strike. What a strike. That is something that you dream. That's Robin Van Persie-esque. Wait, let's just have a look at that again. Right there. Oh my God. Look at his body shape. That's exactly how Van Persie lined up that volley against Villa. Is that going top corner as well? It does, isn't it? Oh, mate. Watch this at the end, though. Has complete body spasm. Yeah. What happens? What happens to his body? He scored such a good goal, his body forgets how to work and he has a body spasm. The strike, one of the best strikes I've been submitted.
He is making himself the victim and he's making me look like the liar. He's making me look like I've made up these horrible stories. I'm the one that's made Victoria suffer. Poor him. And if he hadn't even mentioned any of that and just said it was a tough time for us and moved on, I wouldn't be here today. The stories were horrible, but they were true. And he's the one who's responsible for all of this. He's the one who's responsible for his wife suffering. He's the one that decides to lie to her to say we don't have to tell my wife. He's made all those choices.
Was there anything particular that he said that... On that.
The ability of some women, some, to not take any accountability for their own actions is astonishing. This is Rebecca Luce, who famously apparently cheated with David Beckham on Victoria Beckham. And why she's coming out now, like she's built a whole life off the back of shagging David Beckham, like... That's cringe. Second of all, why do you have to now come out like she's saying, like, I wouldn't be here. Like, she has to be there. No one's even mentioned you. The documentary came out. Nothing new has come out. We knew kind of Beckham probably did cheat, and obviously he did. But what doesn't have anything to do with you? Move on. Get a grip. Like, you've built your whole life off the back of shagging someone else. It's sad. It's sad. And again, the lack of accountability. You knew he was married. Like, you knew he was a married man. So Beckham makes a mistake, right? And that is horrendous. I don't condone cheating. I think it's disgusting. But you are complicit in that. And acting like you're now the victim of something. No one even mentioned you. They've moved on. They're enjoying their life. They couldn't be happier. They've got wonderful children and a house and everything. Meanwhile, you're still here talking about that time that you shagged David Beckham. Fuck off. That was TikTok submissions. Guys, thank you for some actual football-related content this week. Really enjoyed it. Thank you. Right, okay, let's go around Europe. This part of the show is where I go very briefly around Europe, keep you up to date, because it's almost impossible to follow everything that's happening in the world of football. Well, I'm here to do it for you. Starting off in France, Monaco stay top despite 19-year-old Lamine Kamara's wonder goal from the halfway line. We've just talked about Beckham. This is Beckham-esque. I will put it in the video because it's such an unbelievable strike. And for 19 years old, what is he playing at? Well, they did actually win this game. That was early on. The goal came and then Monaco fought back. Alexander Golovin scored twice. He's in the form of his life at the moment, and two absolutely stunning strikes as well. I mean, look, keeps them ahead of the chasing pack, but Nice did keep their sixth clean sheet in nine games. So they are just a point behind Monaco, but six clean sheets in nine games is amazing. Like, we've got to take your hat off to Nice. That's top draw. Mbappe, PSG ran out comfortable winners against Strasbourg. He did score as well. PSG are keeping tabs, but it looks like they'll have really stiff competition because Monaco aren't going anywhere. Oh, at the other end, Lyon lost again. I said this, I think, after two games, that Lyon are the worst side in Europe, one of the worst teams I've ever seen. Lyon, they played Nice early doors. I think it was their third game, and I watched the full 90 minutes. It was 0-0. And Nice now, obviously, at the top of the table. But what I saw from Lyon was a team incapable of progressing the ball from their back four to their midfield or from their midfield to the final third. I don't know what's happening there because the players haven't really changed. They've still got some really talented players, but they are the worst team in the world. They've got beat again, but they got beat to the bottom side, Clermont. So somehow Clermont, who were the worst team in the league, I'm telling you now, Lyon were worse. Well, they've just proved that by losing again. Lyon without a win all season. Unbelievable. In Spain, Girona, they caught Madrid. They are level on points with Madrid. Madrid drew with Sevilla, Sergio Ramos's Sevilla, 1-1. Girona looked like they were going to lose. They were 2-0 down early doors and then somehow came back and scored five goals. Artem Dovbyk, the summer signing, the Ukrainian, scored twice for them. He's having a really good start for Girona. And maybe we've got a surprise on our hands with Girona maybe having a go at the title this season. Barcelona, they squeezed a 1-0 win, but their goal came from 17-year-old Marc Gu. He is a player who has never played for Barcelona before. He came on, I think he got like 10, 15 minutes and scored the winner. And what an amazing achievement that is. There's a video of his family celebrating the goal and I'll put that in here. Griezmann scored a hat-trick. That takes Atleti a little bit closer to the top, but it takes Griezmann to within a goal of Jude Bellingham in the top goal scorers list. He's on 7, Bellingham on 8. In Italy, talking of top goal scorers, Lautaro Martinez scored again in to keep top spot. It's 11 in 9 games for Lautaro Martinez. Absolutely sensational this season. Marcus Thuram, the new summer signing, also grabbed a goal. They won 3-0 against Torino. Milan lost at home to Juve. Solitary goal from Locatelli. What a player Locatelli is. That was enough to get the 3 points for them. Just 2 points separate the top three in Italy, which is really interesting because I think that Inter AC Juve battle will be I don't think any of the other teams, I don't think Napoli have got it in them. I'm not saying that Napoli won't come close, but I think it'd be that top three look a cut above the rest. At the bottom, Salernitana drew 2-2 with Cagliari. Both sides still without a win. That was a bottom of the table clash. And we touched on it at the start of the episode. Mourinho sent off for pretending to cry and taunting the Monza coaching staff. The most petty man in football, Jose Mourinho, but you can't help but kind of love it. In Germany, you know who we're going to talk about, Serhou Guirassy. We're all on the Serhou Guirassy train now. He has scored again. Stuttgart on a roll. A point above Bayern Munich, they are, and just a point behind Xabi Alonso's Leverkusen side, who are flying. Dortmund level on points now with Bayern as well. After their win, they won 1-0. Kane scored again for Bayern as well. They won 3-1 away at bottom club Mainz. It will be interesting to see that division. I think we've got France, Italy and Germany right now who, I mean, I can't pick a winner. I think there's some really good sides in that German division, but Alonso at Leverkusen, it seems like one of those seasons where I think they're onto something special, like a Leicester or something like that, where you see a team galvanized by that team spirit, by a new kind of way of playing football, style of football, and they seem to have really bought into it. They look absolutely incredible. Everywhere else, let's go to Ajax, beaten again. They are beaten again. Ajax, 4-3 to Utrecht. Utrecht are the bottom-placed side. Well, they're not anymore. They've gone above Ajax. Ajax in the bottom three. I don't think anyone would have predicted that at the start of the season. The game was 4-3, but it was stopped and restarted twice, almost abandoned. Once again, another Ajax game where it's nearly abandoned. In that division, PSV are top. So in the Netherlands, PSV top. The two chasing teams, Feyenoord and Alkmaar, are being propelled along by two of the most sensational goal scoring talents in Europe right now. We mentioned Guirassy. Guirassy's on 14 goals in 9 games. Outstanding. But Santiago Jimenez, the Mexican striker that we've been talking about for Feyenoord, he's on 13 in 9. And then a hat trick for Vangelis Pavlidis, the Greek striker at Alkmaar, makes it 13 in 9 for him as well. And I think Haaland almost ruined us last season because of the streak that he was on. We almost feel like, yeah, that's what a top striker should be doing. Realistically, Ronaldo and Messi ruined it for us when they were getting a goal a game, when before it was like a goal every 2 games was your elite level. Well, we're looking at Pavlidis and Jimenez and Guirassy all on 13 and 14 in 9 games. It's outstanding from all of them. Okay, right, guys, we're reaching the end of the show, so I'm going to give you my 2 lies and a truth answer. Just to recap the 3 stories, Argentina Primera C side Claypole have signed a 3-year-old child after the young boy scored a penalty against their substitute goalkeeper in the warm-up. Story number 2 was Italian lower league side Imolese have been warned by the Italian FA after rumours circulated the Mafia had pressured a referee to award them a penalty. And then story number 3 was Barcelona. They are looking at a 16-year-old winger called Messinho after the young Brazilian claimed it would be a dream to play for them. The player whose name combines the two greats of football, Ronaldinho and Messi, is considered one of the greatest talents currently playing out of Brazil. 3 stories. Which one was true? Did you get it? It was story number 3. Yes, there is somehow another Brazilian product coming through, probably going to end up at Barcelona or Real Madrid, and he is called Messinho. So no pressure, but Messinho. Have a look out for him. 17 years old, played for the Brazilian national team at that level as well, so really interested. Quiz question time. That was which team had been relegated from the Premier League the most amount of times? Which team? Who was it? Did you get it? It was Norwich City. Of course, Norwich City. I actually thought when I heard that it would be someone like West Brom or something, but Norwich, of course, they go up, they go straight back down. They go up, concede 9 to Liverpool, roll over for them twice a season, then go back down. Right, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. Another episode has been and gone. Hope you enjoyed it. Please remember, if you can, to subscribe and like all of our videos, because it really helps the algorithm, really helps us boost a little bit and get a little bit more traction. Because to be honest, it is very difficult, particularly in the YouTube space where we know most of you listen. We want you to go onto YouTube, if you do, and just like our posts. It helps so much. We really appreciate it. Thank you so much. We'll be back next Wednesday. Make sure you tune in. Thank you for coming. Speaking wisdom into my mind. Tell me stories of all that are great. Cherish these days before it's too late.